A nameless evil once buried forever. Now he's awake and he's ready for terror. But hold up, wait, there's a catch. This kid Mimi has a plan to hatch. With the magic gem, she has the power. The monster's her friend, it's her finest hour. They'll go on adventures, cause all kinds of trouble. Blow up the world and dance on the rubble. First he needs a name, something cool, it can't be lame. That's when it struck her, so cool and so mean. The monster will be named PG.
Hey everybody, movie So Bad the Good, Midnight Classics, and Camp, coming back at you with another one of, this is going to be pretty good, because today we are reviewing Psycho Goreman, or PG for short. This was like such an instant cult classic that it was already like had a cult following before it even came out. Right, I remember when the trailer dropped for this, everybody in the Movie So Bad They're Good Facebook group, everybody was losing their minds. It looked crazy. It was like low budget, but like awesome cinematography. There's this killer psycho monster that is being ordered around by a little sociopathic girl. And it's an Astron 6 production, and you know that this podcast is, and the Facebook group, all about Astron 6. We did an episode a little while ago, a couple months ago, Father's Day. Jenna and Bree were on that one. Jenna's back. And, so are a bunch of other people. So let's go ahead and get into it. So like I was saying, this is Astron 6, and I know for sure if there's anybody in the world that wants to talk about Astron 6 on the podcast, it is Ryan. Ryan's here. What's up, man?
Hey, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing great. I got my Astron 6 talking pants on, so I'm ready to talk.
All right, good. I was worried about that. How is the world's greatest Astron 6 fan doing today?
I'm actually doing pretty good today.
Hell yeah. I've got a bunch of other people here. This is going to be kind of a crowded full house, so I'll try to get to each one of y'all. We'll start with Ryan. Just keep it real brief. What's your history with Astron 6?
I remember seeing Astron 6 in a Fangor magazine, and showed all the it's when Father's Day was coming out, and it showed all these fake trailers they have done. So I went on YouTube, found them all, watched them, and pretty much got myself prepared to watch Father's Day, and I was blown away. And since then, I've been on such an Astron 6 kick, it's not even funny.
It's a little funny. It's a little funny.
Not to mention, I took my wife to see this movie at Alamo Draft House when it came out.
I remember you telling me this came out in 2021 during like the pandemic. It was like one of the very first movies that came out like during the like quarantine and everything. I believe it was like when theaters were just starting to open up and they had like limited capacity and all that, and they were like seating like 5 people in each theater. This movie came out, and then
she invited herself, and I felt I was so fucked.
Why?
Because I have a history with Astron 6. She did not. So I did not prepare her for this, but she left the theater loving this movie.
Yeah, hell yeah. Awesome. We'll get back into that a little bit later. Let me go around the room. Jenna was already going, hey, earlier. So you've been kind of like in my ear for a while. Pretty much since this movie came out, saying, like, I want to cover Psycho Goreman on the podcast whenever you do it.
Yes, I've been wanting to watch this movie since 2020. And I finally did, and it was even better than I thought it would be.
Hell yeah. Why didn't you watch it?
Because there's nothing that it... Like, with the goddamn streaming shit, like...
Yeah, it's not available on anything.
Yeah, and so I had to, like... I needed an excuse, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you're like, I don't want to fucking buy something, you know?
Oh, it is definitely worth buying.
Yeah, well, I can't even buy it on, like, on anything. Like, you have to get a streaming service in order to see this. Unless you, like, have a physical copy, which I'm definitely going to get now.
Yeah, it's so rewatchable. I've watched, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this movie. I watched it twice in the past, like, 2 days preparing for this podcast. And I've already seen it, like, a dozen times before that.
Yeah, I'm definitely... I got, like, stars. I don't remember what it's on, but I got, like, a week account, like, a free week account for this one streaming service, and...
Shudder?
Like, yeah,
Shudder? No, it's not Shudder, but it's... It, like, has some Shudder movies in it or some crap, I don't know. But I was, like, looking around at the different movies, and I'm like, I kind of want to just watch Psycho Gorman. So maybe I'll just do that the whole week.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it's Plus, I believe.
What?
It could be AMC Plus.
That's what it is, yeah.
Okay, so I had you on for Father's Day, and that was a crazy movie. And again, you were like, hit me up for Psycho Gorman, so I did. Other than this... At Father's Day, you haven't seen any of their other films, have you?
I guess I saw The Void. I was just looking them up because I'm like, have I seen other movies by them? And I did see The Void.
That's definitely like the one that's like way to the left because the rest are all like goofy and comedy, like horror comedy. And The Void
is like
serious as hell.
Yeah, that one, I mean, it was cool, but I definitely enjoy Goofy more.
Yeah, compared to the Manborg and the Editor, it's way out of left field.
Manborg is like what Psycho Gorman would have been if they made it in 2010. we might cover that on here sometime. Well, cool. I'm glad you really enjoyed it. I'm glad that you saved it for this podcast. Let me go to the next person here. Sloan's back.
Hey, woo! How'd it do, y'all?
What's up, man? Have you seen this movie before?
So, the first time that you ended up telling me about this movie, I watched it 4 times in about 2 days. And, yeah, I'm not as accustomed to the other Astron 6 movies. I've always wanted to check more out, but as said before, so the same director, what is his name? Steven...
Istanski.
So yeah, he directed in 2016, The Void. So I love that one. That practical effect is just fantastic in that movie.
He is crazy. He's like the next John Carpenter.
Well, the direction that he does, he also he's like Tom Savini, where he will bring extra people in and you know win awards for their artistic style.
For like and no budget too.
True. And so it's just like there's no general computer graphics, which is so fantastic in this day and age. And so you always have to give a good kudos to that. And so, yeah, I definitely take a kind heart to his structure. And Psycho Gorman is pretty much the only one that I've seen through Astron 6, but it's just so dark but comedic at the same time because it's so slapstick. It's like 1920s Charlie Chaplin if Noir was running it.
Yeah, that's a crazy marriage of words you just put there. Okay, so unfortunately you weren't on the Father's Day episode. But maybe I'll hit you up for the next one. I want to do The Editor next, which is a good, like, okay. So the audience doesn't know this because we didn't like finish doing an episode, but we attempted to do an episode on a movie called New York Ripper, which is called a giallo film, which is a, like Italian horror, like mostly slasher. And the editor by Astron 6, not directed by Stephen Kostansky. It's actually the only Astron 6 movie not directed by Stephen Kostansky, but it's the rest of the guys. It is like a tribute or a parody to those giallo films.
There's even a scene they take out of the New York Ripper that's in the editor.
Oh, really? Damn. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, Sloan, I'll hit you up for that. All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely down.
Now, lastly, we've got one more returning guest. He hasn't been on as much as these folks, but he was on the Alien Resurrection episode. He was on the City of Lost Children episode. Bert is back. Welcome back, man. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, everybody. It's good to be back. It was interesting coming into this one because I think I learned about this one the best way possible, which is having no concept of it whatsoever.
Yeah. And just
being told, like, go watch it.
It's okay, so you've never heard of it before I hit you up yesterday.
No. Well, like, I have, like, a vague recollection of, you know, of it floating on, like, the edges of, like, geekdom, but never did enough to go look at it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, man, like, I found out about it, like I said, when the trailer dropped, like, months before it came out. And so I was, and the trailer, like, shows a lot. So I knew exactly what I was getting into. You had no idea. So that's interesting. So how was your Odyssey?
Oh, man, it was great. Like, I started, like, right when I got home from work. And, like, I usually always take a nap, like, right after work. My girlfriend was like, are you gonna nap? And I was like, can't, watching movie. Like, I was sucked in from the get-go.
Awesome. So, did she watch it with you?
No. And she actually, it's funny, because she was like, well, what is this movie? And I was like, look, I'm gonna be honest, it's not your cup of tea. And she was like, why not? And I was like, because it's like a weird, gory, monster movie Power Rangers thing. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm good.
I was, my mom was like, oh, how'd you like the movie? And I was like, oh my God, it's like one of my favorite movies now. And she said, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah, it's called Psycho Gorman. And whatever you think that title would be, times it by 50. And that's what it is.
And that title throws people off so much. Like there's been so many people who have been like, hey, you got, there's this movie you should watch. Okay, what's it called? Psycho Gorman. I don't know. And I'm like, no, trust me.
But it draws in the right crowd.
Yeah, it's definitely
when you hear that movie.
It's definitely very niche for like our generation.
Yes.
the generations before and after like don't really get it. But Bert,
Grandma,
let's watch Psycho Gorman. You know what? Oh. It had some Roger. I was gonna say, like, Grandma might like it because it was very Roger Corman.
Yeah, like those old, like, I forgot what he did, that like Attack of the Giant Crab Monster or some shit like that.
Yeah, like those like weird puppety like practical effects, like. I was half expecting someone to melt.
Well, somebody did melt. The cop.
Did he melt? I was like, I thought he got shot.
The incredible melting cop.
Yeah, he definitely got smudgy.
Oh, the so apparently that's a reference to like a short, the yes. BioCop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I tried to find it on YouTube to send it to you. I can't find it now. Dude, BioCop is like the greatest thing Astron 6 ever did. It's only like 3 minutes, but it's like, it is like this cop that's like all melting and stuff, and he can't die, and that's all he wants to do, and people just shoot him all the time, and then they recreated him in Psycho Gorman, because BioCop came out in 2010.
BioCop's not a
to The Incredible Melting Man.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only one that saw that.
Yeah. Okay, so Bert, since...
Which I still haven't seen, which I really want to. The Incredible Melting Man. That's like all it is just a guy walking around melting.
If you're going to watch it on a Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a good one. Nice. MST3K.
So, Bert, since you went into this the most blind, why don't you tell us what the plot is?
So basically, these kids find a relic in their backyard and unwittingly set free eternal evil, which sounds like a very 80s plot, but then it goes like Saturday morning cartoon after that.
Yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, definitely 80s, 90s nostalgia mixed with like John Carpenter, The Thing, and Incredible Melting Man, and like all the things combined with Power Rangers, like you said earlier,
with every movie where kids befriend monsters.
Yeah, it's Monster Squad. It's very much Monster Squad, especially like the ending credits with the rapping credits. Like that is Monster Squad.
Those rapping credits gave me like Ninja Turtles vibes.
I love those so much. Like, well, you think that the movie's over, and then you have a little rap song, and it's like corny as fuck.
I forgot about that.
They would always do the same thing in the Return of the Living Dead movies. Okay, I eat no more brains.
The other song, the main song, has been stuck in my head all day. Like, I'm the heckin' best. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Freak on the rest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Freak off.
That was definitely a good song.
Dude, that was so good. Like, way better than it had any right to be with. Like, the main word is freak.
No, it's not freak, it's frig, F-R-I-G.
No, they say frig all throughout the movie, but the song says freak. Yeah. Speaking I listened to it a lot.
Right?
Of, like, kids befriending monsters. What was that movie where the kids, like, befriend aliens, not but ugly aliens? And it turns out the aliens are also kids.
Oh, you're talking about the last, not the last Voyager. What the hell is that called? They get taken up and then they're on the main spaceship and the adults of the aliens are actually like Rancor sized.
Yeah, and so the costuming hiding. Reminded me a little bit of that for some reason.
Okay.
It'll come to me.
Yeah.
It's not the Voyager. It's something along those lines, though.
Okay, so, anyway, continue with the plot. I befriend the monster.
Oh, befriend the monster, which sends out, like, some sort of pulse throughout the galaxy that alerts the like, alien coalition that had locked away the big bad. And it turns out, you know, the alien coalition is headed up by, like, these crazy zealots that enslave, you know, every race that they're spreading their religion to, which included the big bad's, like, original home planet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then it comes to a head, as sort of you would expect, where they come to Earth looking for the big bad.
Yeah.
The lead bad guy in that group, the angel, gave off the biggest Power Rangers vibes.
Yeah, that was definitely like,
I believe
Rita Repulsa.
Yes.
Her name, Pandora.
Yes, yeah. Pandora.
Yep.
It's like. It was nostalgic in such a specific way, too.
See, that his little, like, when his when PG's, you know, because I think we'll get into that, but they call him PG. When his like putty squad showed up, yeah. the one that was just like a washing machine of blood, that gave me the most Power Ranger vibes.
Yeah. He called them his paladins.
I love that so much. Like, he's just like spewing the blood on him, and like you hear the intense music, and it's all horrible, and you're like, oh no. And then it shows you like the shot from like,
from the kid's, like, perspective with no music.
Yeah, it's just like corny as fuck. That was so brilliant.
Yeah, that was a good shot.
That also, they did that earlier with the, when they're playing Crazy Ball in the beginning, and you hear like the guitar solo is going off and it's shredding, and they're just like, it's such an intense game. And then again, you see like the shot from like several feet away, and they're just like kids just being fucking silly.
So yeah. On the cut that I watched, when the kids like threw the balls at each other and they like they hit, it was the Power Rangers theme playing. Am I like?
It was it wasn't it exactly, but it was definitely very similar.
Oh, it was like Vanilla Ice and Queen, where it's like, oh, mine goes deen 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 dee dee deen deen, but theirs goes deen 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 dee dee deen.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That was a really good reference to that exact moment. Yes.
That's fantastic.
I also like in the beginning of that part, like, it's just kind of a throwaway line, but it's like, what the fuck? And they're like digging the hole and they're like finding something. And then he's like, oh, crap, is this where they buried Grandma? Like, Grandma's like a dog they buried in the backyard.
Also, you know, they're kids, so they're like, they don't know any better. And that also makes, like, this movie so great, is that it's, like, the perspective of the kids that, like, nothing makes sense because they don't really understand the world.
Yeah, the kids really open the window and show us how dysfunctional their family really is.
God, I love the dad.
And how psycho that girl is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She had, like, again, talk about nostalgia. She had, like, that 90s girl bully vibe, yeah. Like Angelica from Rugrats.
Yeah, definitely very Nickelodeon. This movie pretty much like takes place in the 90s too. Like, if you like kind of pay attention, there's not a lot of references, but it's like there's no cell phones. It's everything is like all the TVs are all like CRTs.
Yeah, this TV won't stop bleeding.
Yeah, that was that was definitely one of the best lines. But I love the dad so much. Like he's played by Adam Brooks, who's in all the astronauts. He's like one of the main Astron 6 guys.
Yeah, he was the main guy in Father's Day, right?
Yeah, he played Ahab, who is like the Snake Plissken type character. And he's the main guy in the editor. And then the other two Astron 6 guys are also in what's his name? So, like, in the Paladins, there's the Cassius, like, 9000 or whatever, that, like, golden Spanish robot guy.
The peer into the darkness guy?
Yeah, that guy. He's in a bunch of Astron 6 movies, or he's in all of them. He's one of the members. And then, and the other side, the main guy of not Pandora, but like the other guy who's always talking, who's like, he's terrified of Pandora, so he just kisses her ass, that's another one of those guys. So like, it's those three guys and the director, and I think there's like a fifth guy, but I don't know what he does. Ryan, do you know?
I think he's one of the cops.
That runs away.
Right.
Because I know Adam Brooks, and I believe his name is Jeremy Gillespie, are like the two founding members.
Yeah.
of Astron 6, and then the other three show up later.
Right. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, other two, because the fifth one is the director, Steven Kostansky, and he's not in it at all. He's never been in front of the camera. He's only directed. Anyway, Adam Brooks, he was great. It's like he played like a worthless piece of shit father husband that is like so pathetic. He's a lot like Jerry and
I was just
Rick and
Morty. He was basically Jerry from Rick and Morty, and he even has that one moment where it's just like, I'll show you, and then he's still kind of shitty.
Yeah, I love how, like, she's like, what do you do? What do you do around here? And he has nothing to say. And then it cuts to, like, him in the bathroom, and he's, like, talking to himself. And he's like, I ask you, what do you do here? That was great.
I really like the dad character too. Just because he was
his, like, comedic timing is like perfect.
I mean, the moment for me is when she looks into the microwave and sees that he kind of just like blew it up a bit, and when she asks about the mess, he's just like, "I was feeding my family." But the microwave, you're welcome.
Yeah. He was so proud of that shitty chicken that he just microwaved.
It made a mess.
Like the whole dinner time, it was like, how does my family love my delicious chicken?
You just microwaved it. It brings out the flavors.
Talking about his comedic timing, I like when he picks up the shovel. And, like, right before it strikes dirt, just, ow, my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that just shows how, like, pathetic he is.
I mean, I understand why they, like, cast him in all of their movies, because it's, like, he kind of, like, sets the tone.
Yeah, he's one of them. All five of them. I don't know why it's Astron 6 when there's five members, but anyway. Yeah, if all of them, all like together, they make the movies. Where is the script or the production, acting, directing? They all of them do everything. It's like Monty Python, kind of.
It even tickles me more when he name drops the fact he was in Iraq.
Yeah, and the mom is just like, "No, you weren't. You never fired a gun in your life."
He's like, yeah, and he mentions at the dinner table. He's like, yeah, kind of like when I was in Iraq. You know what I did there? I killed people.
Yeah.
Wow, what conversation? What dinner conversation there?
Over microwaves chicken.
Yeah, I like how, like, at the very end, so. Psycho Goreman defeats Pandora and, like, gives her the warrior's death and everything, and they leave, and everything that's happened, they survived it, and he's just like, you know, I remember when this place used to be a shoe factory. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, why are you even saying that? Nobody cares. And it's so funny. It's just like, another line to just
bleeding add. Out. Well, that's where they were recovering PG during the time that he was, you know, they brought him the TV and all that. That's the old shoe factory.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually even a Jumanji reference right there.
I was thinking about Jumanji too, actually.
A broken shoe factory. So
yeah, maybe it's the same factory. And this is in the same universe as Jumanji.
I could see that.
Talking about that TV, though, I do like that part where he's like, you're probably going to have to put in a couple extra shifts, you know, compared to the TV.
poor fucking Susan.
Oh, fuck
her. I really, not having known what this was, I really thought she was going to end up with Psycho Goreman at the end. Like, after they go through that whole sequence where she's dressing him, like fucking at Dr. Alan Grant
from exactly Jurassic Park. Yeah. Right there.
Yes.
Like,
I didn't realize that, but that is what you said.
Yeah, it's a fact. Like they did that on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. She dressed like. I'm like, is this some sort of weird fantasy thing where it's like that's her ideal man is just like Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park? I get it, especially when you got Jerry at home, but
yeah.
But apparently that's not what PG was into. He was into the hunky boys.
Oh yeah,
I don't like hunky boys, or maybe I do.
My hunky boys.
They're so good at like making callbacks to earlier jokes. There's so many of those throughout the whole movie.
Oh, there was one to like grandma too. Was like, yeah. I told you grandma's she got buried in the backyard. Yeah, she's in hell, and she can't hurt you or something like that.
Yeah.
She can't hurt you anymore. what the fuck?
And like. PG can't remember the brother's name, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Boy!
I always thought that was a homage to Phantasm.
Yeah?
Boy!
It could be. But yeah, he's like at the end, he's like, so long, Mimi and Susan and... I forgot the dad's name.
Just called Jerry.
I wanted to say Jerry, but it's not Jerry.
Greg.
Yeah.
Greg.
And boy. And like earlier with the Templars, she's like, this is Mimi, and this is her brother.
Poor Luke.
Is his name Luke?
Luke's like the only sympathetic character in the entire story.
Yeah.
But like, no,
nobody
care.
Gives a damn about him at all. He's the only one paying attention to anything that's actually happening.
Him and friend? Alistair. Yeah,
yes,
Alistair.
Alistair.
And Luke believed everything his sister Mimi said. It's crazy the kind of control she had over her brother.
Her older brother, mind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a super bed. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, some of that might have been grandma, especially because of that line where it's like, she can't hurt you anymore.
Man, the gore and brutality in this movie is like turned all the way up to 11, and I love it.
Yeah, like it's subtle too. Like it comes and goes when you don't really expect it. Like most of the movie is pretty clean until the gore comes, and then it's brutal.
Clearly, like these guys have a background in these visual effects.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's, like, a great excuse to just, like, go all out on the visual effects. It also kind of reminded me of, like, those mid-2000s, like, Japanese horror movies.
Yes.
That were just, like, ridiculous.
That's exactly... I was thinking this reminded me of... Do you all ever watch Vampire Girl versus Frankenstein Girl?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes! That's what it reminded me of.
Or, like, Tokyo Gore Police.
Yeah, didn't we do a podcast on that?
Yeah, we did on the other podcast. I need to bring that back. Have any of y'all, or of course, Ryan and Jenna have seen it, but Song and Bird, have y'all seen Tokyo Gore Police?
I have not.
I have not.
Oh, it is
it's, like this. it's like this, but with S&M.
And so much more gore. Like it's like all the scenes in Sacred Gore Man doesn't have gore. Replace that with gore. And
so everything.
Yeah. Beginning to end is nothing but gore. And but it's just as like silly and like off the wall, over the top, like crazy. Yeah, and there's like not a moment where it gives
if anybody
you
ever room sees to that. Breathe.
Huh? What do you say, Slav?
Did I cut out again?
No, I asked you, what did you say?
I was saying House from the, I guess it's the 70s, it's a Japanese
House or Haosu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's the disembodied head and just the spiritual haunted house. It's literally the haunting, except for it's done in a very I don't know how to say that style of let's just say that Owen Wilson's in a kimono in that one. Let's put it that way.
Also,
he's just
owl. I would think that movie should end up on this podcast.
It should. That's what I was exactly saying.
Okay. I can look into that. But first, probably Tokyo Gore Police. And probably the editor. And New York Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. We have a lot on our plate.
Yeah, dude. This one particular podcast has been around for 4 years.
Woo.
No, 3 years. And the other two have each been around for at least a year themselves each. So, and I still am like, man, I have too many movies to choose from. But
too many movies.
Yeah, so all right, anyway, Sakura Gourmet. Yeah, so all right, so one thing that I really appreciate is the rule of three for comedy. Like, if you aren't aware of what that is, it's like when you're writing a script for a movie that's a comedy. It's a very good idea to have the jokes come in threes. And, if you look at, like, a bunch of other comedy movies, it's, like, all over it. Basically, the idea is that three is the perfect number to repeat for repetition. So, if you make a joke two times, I mean, like, once is fine, it's funny. Two times, that's great. Three times is like there's something about three that's just like really funny, and then four is too much. So like if you look at this movie, they use the rule of three so many times. Like for example, there's a thing with the dad Greg. He's in the bathroom, and then PG like comes at him, and he's like, "Come find me!" That was one of the funniest things, but like. Because he's like taking a crap, and then just like the scariest fucking visual just shows up right in front of his face, and he falls into the tub, and then it, like he goes away. He's like, "I don't know where you are," and then he comes back. He's like, "I'm at this place," and then it was so funny that he came back. But then he's like,
"How do I get there?
I don't know that area."
And then he comes back and gives directions. And it's so fucking funny. So that's one time. Another time is,
my favorite bit is like the warrior's death.
Yeah, they did that three times, or they did show it three times. The first time they talked about it, he was like,
he ate the burger, then he does the leader of the paladins, and then he does the leader of the he does it to Pandora in the end. So that is a three.
Well, and I like how. The first one, when he opens his mouth, it's just a little bit. And then it's like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then the second time around, you see that he swallows. And, you know, he explains, oh, yes, warrior's death. That's when you
eat
a whole person in battle because they were great in battle. And then you see it the second time. And it's like incredibly disturbing. He's like, the horrors you have witnessed. And then the third time, they don't even show it. They're just like... They cut to what are they doing? We're leaving.
Don't even look. But like you don't need to because you already know. And so like the third time is always the funniest part. And then there's like a whole bunch. There's like references that keep being brought up, like the lazy thing. Like the first time.
My parents called me lazy, and then my teachers, and now you, Susan.
Yeah, that's the first time. And then the second time is when she's like telling him to get out of the truck. He's like, how about this for lazy? And he flicks her off. And then the third time, he's like, oh, you know, I'd love to help, but I'm just too lazy.
I love the fact that when he's loading up PG's body into the back of the truck bed, he's just like, do you think I'm lazy, PG? And just, he's all dying there.
But at least he made room for the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah, that little girl is fucking psychotic. Like,
yeah.
I remember seeing the previews and being like, oh, so it's like a thing with like a little girl and she's kind of bossy. And then like she like has this guy who, and I didn't realize that like she's just like a little psycho, like sociopath the entire time. Like she's they don't really, let up on it.
She's a really good actress.
Especially the scene where she goes into the room and she's talking to the cross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then she's like, I'm just letting you know that he's going to come and like take over the world. And then she like breaks.
There's a new god. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a new god. And then breaks the cross in half. I think that was the first time I like audibly laughed out loud.
That was at the very end. How was that the first time?
I mean,
she's saying ever in life. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Never cracked a smile once my whole life. Until now. Until a little kid broke a cross.
Until blasphemy. Party horror. Love it.
We'll just keep talking about scenes we liked, but we'll go around the table. And Sloan, what's another scene that we haven't yet brought up? I mean, we brought up a lot, but there's still a lot we haven't brought up. So what's something that you really liked about this movie?
Well, I think that one of my main scenes before Pandora, when she's the angel paladin up on up in the main, I guess, the council, as you'd call it, of all the Galactic Council. And there's the guy who looks like the Grinch. That's all I can ever think of. He looks like the live-action Grinch. And he ends up offending her, and he's, like, kissing her feet. And then she ends up bringing out the human so that she can become the human. She ends up encapsulating her and, like, shrinking her down and like turning her into like the blood vessel, and she's just like, you know, we are omnipotent and we are caring and outgoing, as she smashes it on the ground on the table and just smears it across her face so that she can envelop it within her.
Yeah, that's the guy I was talking about earlier. I think Connor Sweeney. The guy that you were just mentioning that like offended her and everything. Yeah, he's one of the main astronauts, I guess. Yeah.
I also did love when she just turned that woman into a gelatinous cube and then ate it.
Yeah. And then she like her face melts and turns into the human, and like they're all just like just latex and just, you know, all masks and everything, but they did a really good job at like showing how horrified they were.
Yeah,
like, the emotion of him sucking his teeth.
Oh my god, that was so good.
Face.
Like,
I love it.
Like there's no face muscles. Their faces do not move, but yet you see like how terrified they are. And like,
one of the guys
shit.
Like. Covered the other guy's
brain in the jar.
Like a brain and eyes in a jar. And he's like,
brain
oh,
in a jar was like my favorite character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the snake just like covers her mouth.
I think that the snake lady ended up having the most emotion out of all those inanimate creatures in there.
Just by covering her mouth, that's it. That's all they did. And it but it worked so well.
We were holding our breaths for them at that point. It's just like, did she just? It's just like that. That's divine intervention there for you.
And speaking of the snake lady, I love how when she talked, like she like really pronounced the S's because she's a snake. She was. I forgot what she said, where her lines were, but every time it was an S, it was like. Like evil returns.
It's like it's just so 90s.
Yeah, and that was definitely like the most Power Rangers too. Well, besides the Paladins.
Yeah, anytime they have like the all puppet brigade and they're fighting, it's super Power Rangers.
Yeah, Jenna, what about you? What's another scene that you liked?
I mean, the warrior's death is obviously my favorite part. I just keep thinking about it. It's so funny.
That reminds me of something that Ryan told me that his wife told him.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
We're hearing some tea now. I think...
We're all waiting for the tea.
Yeah. Like, okay,
I thought I cut out again. Jeez.
Nothing. Okay. Continue.
Okay. Man, and I had it and now I forgot again. This is my morning, so I'm not quite all there.
I hear that. This is technically my morning too.
Man, what was it? Oh, the BioCop guy. So I saw that was the only clip I could find on Psycho Goreman, like when I was obsessing over it, trying to like look it up. And it just cut out to like when Psycho Goreman PG turns the cop into like the melty BioCop guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that he like followed them around for like like two scenes. Like,
yeah.
So he's just like next to them for no reason, like in the woods, just like, ooh. And then she's like
trying to die too.
Yeah. And then he like writes in his own blood in this heart card, like, please kill me.
He shoots himself in the head.
Saying how much you love me.
Yeah, he shoots himself in the head to like no avail, and he looks so surprised. He's like, oh, and then eventually, when all the paladins are fighting PG, like he joins in and like shoots PG, and then PG just kills him.
Well, and that's the same part where when Adam Brooks. The old man in the precinct, the cop there is, Pandora comes down. She's asking him, and this is almost like a point where in each of the trauma movies when Lloyd Kaufman ends up throwing himself in, it's just like, you know, playing the dumb guy or something along those lines, but, yeah, he's just like, yeah, I don't know nothing about this. And they're just like talking about how the dude just ended up getting turned into mush. And it's just like, don't you ever fucking listen?
It's just like, no. No, that wasn't Adam Brooks, though. Adam Brooks was the dad. But yeah, that was a funny scene. yeah, I love that. Like, She just shows up and is like, I'm looking for this terrible evil that's been released upon the world, and he's gonna like destroy you. He's a huge, terrible monster. He's like, that description's a little vague. Bert, what about you? What's the scene that you liked?
Man, there was a lot of scenes. I really just like, though, when all the like alien council is sitting around the table, because it reminded me of like Rita Repulsa and Goldar and Blitwick,
Zed, no,
and Zed,
Yeah, and
Lord Zedd.
Yeah, when they all would just stand around the table and like plot how to invade Earth.
Yeah, I think they're like on the moon or something. What? You okay, Slim? No. Okay. anyway, that was pretty good.
PG like reminded me of Lord Zedd, yes. And apparently Lord Zedd was made like for Americans. Like it,
yeah.
Lord Zedd was not in the Japanese version.
Yeah, he didn't show up till like the second season of Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's like what kind of disturbing nightmare feel, which I loved when I was a kid. I loved Lord Zedd.
Yeah, I loved him too.
I also understood that he looked like nightmare fuel, and I really appreciated that. That's like definitely at least a part of inspiration of PG.
he's like all like meat and like muscles with like a metal exoskeleton
and a brain His brain was like out. Yeah.
And he like he talked like a fucking like a death metal vocalist.
It's like that's what they decided. They were like, you know what this show needs? It needs a meaty exoskeleton man with a brain. Like the kids are gonna love it.
You know why I bet you they did it though? Was because to sell action figures, it's harder to sell like a female main villain. Like you can't Power Rangers fight them.
Yeah, which,
I mean they could have like had him with skin though, you know.
Nito was pretty like lame. Zedd was definitely a lot more badass.
One of the inspirations for PG was the director actually had said that he wanted to create a character that would look good as like a 90s action figure. Like something he would imagine being up on a shelf in a kid's bedroom.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Is because, like, especially we're going back to the 90s, little boys, like, loved anything gross. Like, that was the biggest sellers. Like,
can't confirm.
Out your sister. Blah.
I remember.
That was the selling tag to that make your own candy thing where they were all creepy crawlies, I think they were called.
Yeah.
Like,
gross
out your sister.
And they had like a gross easy bake oven too for like the boys.
Yeah, that was it, I think.
Was it? Yeah, you're right.
Called creepy crawlers.
I was close.
Well, I had the creepy crawlers back in the day, but that wasn't the edible one.
No,
Dr. Something Snot Emporium or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There was like a thing that like this like slime. There was a lot of slime in the 90s. And there's this thing where it, like if you like it's in a container that like if you push your thumb into the corner of the container it makes a fart noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
that was Gak right there.
Oh, yeah, Gak, dude. Gak was Dr. awesome.
Dr. Dreadful's Food Lab.
There you go. I knew it was Dr. something. Dr. Dreadful.
Yeah, I have... Oh, man. It was cool to be gross in the 90s for boys, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that candy that was a nose? And like
yeah the nose
and boogers came out of it and you ate the boogers.
This is why like everyone grew up as edgelords back then.
Like everybody was just like, oh man, I gotta get a black trench coat when I grow up, but then Columbine happened so we don't do that anymore.
That's what happened. You start making candy with that looks like boogers, you get Columbine.
That's how it starts.
There you go. The trench coat is just a byproduct.
You start out with Stretch Armstrong. Now we're wearing trench coats.
Nickelodeon had that. Remember that show where it was like, it was all the like all the Nickelodeon, like,
all that
actors. Well, not all that, but like the cast from all that, and plus the other shows. They were on like a game show where like a kid would come on, and, like, had like a phrase. Oh, it's kind of like
Circle Takes the Square, but it was their version.
And like they have to guess, and if they made a wrong guess, they got slimed.
Oh, that was like everything in the Nickelodeon.
Like one of the biggest they had
you
was
can't do that on television.
Oh, maybe it was that.
It was and then you had to like reach into a nose and get and
no,
get like,
that, oh, that was something yeah. else. That was some, that was a different show.
That was Double Dare.
There.
Have y'all seen that recently? The Legend of the Hidden Temple ended up getting recreated 25 years later, and it has the same competitors that it did back then to redo the challenges. They did that this last year, yeah.
And crazy. They're all like 40 years old.
Yeah. They can barely make it through there anymore.
you know a bunch of those kids were just like, I bet I could have gotten that stupid silver monkey if I just had a little more time.
If you make it, we will pay off a month of health insurance.
This is my redemption arc.
Or still like pay off whatever you have left of your student loan. Like,
yeah. Oh. All right, people will be fighting for that one.
The stakes have never been higher for Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It was on Quibi. No wonder nobody saw it.
What? Wait, the Legends of the Hidden Temple was on Quibi?
It wasn't on Nickelodeon.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was on Nickelodeon.
Okay, they didn't get no student loan forgiveness on that one.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it's on Nickelodeon, kids aren't going to watch these.
They're not going to watch old paraplegics come trying through. To, like, climb a ladder. Made of like foam.
Fall. They are not rooting for people.
Man, and it didn't have Kirk Fogg either.
Oh.
But
God. He's probably as old as Bob Barker would have been these days. Well, I mean, not if Bob Barker was alive, but yeah. Yeah, but back when we were younger.
But anyway, yeah, where they're all sitting at the table. Favorite scene.
Okay, cool. Ryan, how about you? What was the scene you really enjoyed?
I guess even with the fourth time seeing this movie, I say the scene I really enjoy is when the parents meet Psycho Gorman for the first time.
Yeah. After he turns Alistair into the big brain, and then they like see him out the window, and they're like, "Well, the mom like runs up with a baseball bat. She's gonna like hit him, but like the dad like he doesn't see Psycho Gorman. He just sees the bat. He's like, hey, my lucky bat!
My lucky bat!"
But he also falls back, and he's just like, "She did it, not me."
Yeah.
And I just love it how it's just like, "Don't worry, he won't hurt you." And he goes, "I will kill you."
Yeah. Oh, he's just joking, that crazy guy.
Nobody he's gave a shit about Alistair at that point. He runs and jumps over the fucking brain.
We haven't talked enough about Alistair.
Yeah.
He's only for being a dork.
And like the very end, it's not really a redemption arc, but like, you know, mid-credit kind of thing. It's just cuts to him eating dinner with his family.
Is that even mid-credit? I feel like that was the whole credits.
No, nobody gives a damn that he changed his... So he didn't... He changed physically, but he didn't change himself. And that's what people cared about.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
What's great is that he was the only voice of reason... And who was like not maladjusted in this whole movie. Like the parents were maladjusted, didn't blink an eye at, like after the giant monster. Alistair was the only one like, are we concerned about this?
I gotta go home, guys. This is getting weird.
It's good to see you. It was nice to meet you. It would be better if you were dead.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, after that scene and like where he's like, I will kill you, you hear like the scent starts picking up, and it's like you could feel the montage coming. And you're like, oh, I hear the synth. I know what that means. And it's a montage. And then it's like the greatest montage ever. It's like... it's better than Rocky. It's just great, and that's where the song comes in. It's like, I'm the heckin' best, yeah, and like they just show like them just doing shit. Like first of all, they're in a band. They they all just form a band, including Alistair. Like he's in there.
He's rocking those drums, man.
Yeah, I thought PG was on the drums. I think PG was on the drums.
Yeah.
Alistair was on the synth.
He's on the synth, you're right.
Yeah.
Actually, PG on the drums, one of the things the director had said in an interview was that, like, even before he had had an idea for this movie, he'd had a vision of just a big monster playing drums. So when he wrote this, he specifically wanted to put that in here.
That's great. That's how all the best ideas are formed. Just some random nonsense.
Like, and then you just shape a movie around it.
And then they do the classic thing of him, of them like buying clothes, and he tries on a bunch of different outfits, and then they're just like looking back, looking at the outfits, and they're like, no. And he changes it again. No.
Yeah, and, like, they covered all of the montage basics. They had, like, karate. They had the clothes change.
Yeah, the clothes change is so classic. And, like, the third time, again, rule of three, they're just like, oh, yeah, that's the line. And, like, a little girl on a bicycle, like...
Yeah, I was gonna say, he blew up a kid and nobody said nothing.
I mean, the end was just him literally destroying the world, and they were like, eh, we're all together. Look, it's the friends we made along the way.
PG just couldn't help being himself in this movie. And that's what I love to...
It's PG, you know? That crazy guy.
They were saying that the Frig Off song is pretty much Billy Idol's Like a Rebel Yell. Yeah!
What's interesting too is that like this is all happening in this town, but one of the things he'd said in that same interview I saw was that all his movies are in the same universe. They may be happening at different times, but apparently, like one town over, Leprechaun is happening while PG's like destroying this town.
Yeah. Okay, so the Void, Father's Day. That's crazy. Bamberg, I guess, is in the future.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the direct future of this movie.
I'm looking.
So it's
up
like the Tarantino-verse, but better.
BioCop is somewhere in there. I guess shortly after
BioCop is in it.
Yeah. But what else is there? Ryan, what am I missing? There's Chow Boys. Have y'all seen Chow Boys? Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Chow Boys is great. It's a short film by Astron 6 where they're just like, there's three like cowboys, and they're like, they're just like, it's the middle of the night, and they're just starving. That they're like out in the middle of nowhere, and they're just like hallucinating because they've starved for so long, and they like eat each other. It's crazy.
The editor.
Yeah, the editor. All right. I guess that would be in the past, huh? Yeah, it's really popular these days for like directors to have all their movies in like a single shared universe. Like Tarantino does that. Robert Rodriguez.
The View Askewiverse.
Yeah.
Pixar.
Fucking Pixar.
I mean, technically, every Stephen King book is.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the
every Stephen King book is all in Maine.
Maine is a fucked up place.
Yeah, I remember they also did one called Inferno of the Dead.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
That's like their fake trailer homage to like the Italian zombie flicks.
Oh, okay.
They also did something for ABCs of Death, but I only saw that once, so.
Yeah. They did that, and they did a VHS thing, too.
Oh, which VHS?
94.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that. That actually tracks for them.
You got like five of those these days, at least.